being here. Well, the weather isn't optimal, but it certainly hasn't dampened our spirits to stand up for a brighter and sunny future for Greene County. So thank you, everybody, for showing up. And yeah, give yourself a round of applause for taking time to participate in government, to be and stay informed, and to have your voices heard. Clap, everybody, a big round of applause. Wow, this has been a long 3.5 years. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Lori Torgerson. Thank you. A PhD criminologist. That's a crazy thing. Who's that? But a former Greene County legislator. I just want to take a few minutes to just set the stage for all of you and let you kind of know where things stand with the proposed Greene County jail. This is not a done deal. So the Greene County Jail has serious operational, administrative, and facility deficiencies. We've been cited by the state, and there are things we need to deal with. That's real. 3 years ago, when I was elected, we were presented with a plan to build a 130-bed jail for $52 million. Over time, thankfully, we got that number down. The current plan, approved last September by the Greene County Legislature, was to build an 80-bed, $47.1 million jail that, with 3.5% interest over 30 years, will cost all of you over $70 million. Ooh, I'm right with you. This has never been a fiscally appropriate plan, but the reason we're here today is because everything changed April 1st. Bail reform was enacted in New York State that will change everything for jails across the state permanently. Going forward, the jail population in Greene County, which is currently approximately 30 people, for those of you who don't know that, we currently have approximately 30 people in the Greene County Jail or under Greene County custody, that number is going to drop by half. We're looking at, forever, 15 to 20 people that will be in custody of the Greene County Jail. This is real. These are real estimates by experts. It's pretty easy to take a look at just by looking at who's in our jail right now and how the new laws will affect them. So now more than ever, this plan to build a jail in Greene County does not make sense. It's sort of akin, yes, doesn't make sense. Students forever, and then 1 month later building a brand new school. Who would do that? So we're asking for our county legislators to pause and rethink, to get a hold of the landscape, and to be thoughtful about how best we can move forward to address our issues. And we're asking our state leaders to encourage or require them to do so. I'm going to be here for the next 2 hours, and I'll answer any specific detailed questions that you may have. You're going to hear from plenty of smart people, and I want to leave time for that. But I want to ask you all to leave here today to make a commitment to talk to the people you know about this issue. Not everybody is aware. Take the time. I want you to really talk to folks and make sure they're informed about this so they too can reach out to their legislators and our county leaders. I'm going to give you a couple of key points to leave with just so you feel informed when you reach out to your friends and neighbors. Number one, we're asking to pause and rethink because state law has changed everything. We will have 15 to 20 people in our jail. This is number two, not a done deal. Nothing's done until the construction happens. It's not a done deal. In fact, the legislature right now is looking at plans to downsize, which is number three. That downsize that they're proposing is to 64 beds, which will reduce the cost minimally by about $700,000, and it's still 3 to 4 times the projected population. The other really important piece, downsizing does not eliminate our annual operating budget of over $5 million. Downsizing is not enough. Don't let your legislators sell you that it is. They need to consider all options. One of those options, number four, is sharing the management of our jail population with another county. Be clear, that is not illegal. There is legal defense. debate on both sides of this question, there is an attorney general opinion which clearly states that regional jails are permissible under current law. I have that here today. You all can take a look at that. But don't get it caught in the weeds on this. Just know it's not illegal, and that if legislative change at the state level would help to clarify that, it's something that can be done, and we should be demanding that of our Greene County legislators. Figure out a way to share a jail as a common sense approach. And lastly, there's a concern that state reforms will result in criminals, not my word, roaming the streets. I have devoted my career and my education to criminal justice. Fundamentally, I believe in protecting public safety. You'll hear more in a moment about this, but please know that bail reform will not jeopardize our safety, and neither will sharing a jail. Remember that jails are places where 2/3 to 3/4 of people are not convicted. They are awaiting trial. This is about justice, this bail reform. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for caring. Thank you all for being a part of a brighter Greene County future. I'm gonna now, it's my pleasure to introduce someone that I, maybe one of the best highlights of this jail project has been the opportunity to meet Insha Rahman from the Vera Institute. Insha, pardon me a moment, I'm gonna give you a quick background because she's as expert gets. She's the Director of Strategy and New Initiatives at the Vera Institute of Justice. She leads Vera's work on bail reform and has been extraordinarily active, knows the insides and outs of the bail reform better than anyone, pretrial justice and jail reduction in New York. She served as an educator to Greene County in our effort to promote alternatives to incarceration and discourage the building of a large jail. She's led research on the use of bail in New York City, criminal court arraignments, jail trends across New York State, and she regularly presents to advocates, judges, defense attorneys, and prosecutors on all of these issues. There's a whole big long thing here. She's an expert, she's brilliant, and it's my pleasure to introduce Insha Rahman from the Vera Institute.
Public safety. And what we have in this country right now is 2.2 million people in jail and prison, another 4.5 million Americans who are in basically jail under another name, under parole and probation. And yet what we know is there are places around the country that have said that is too many people who are under the grasp of the criminal justice system, and in fact that doesn't deliver public safety. That doesn't make our communities healthier, doesn't make our communities safer, it doesn't lead to our communities thriving. And so when you are here today, what you're here to stand for is a safe and thriving and prosperous Greene County, and a new jail will not deliver that. But here's what will. Right now we have an opportunity to really rethink what we are doing with our public dollars, your public dollars, in the name of justice and safety and the well-being of this county. And spending $70 million on a new jail, it does not deliver any of those things. So on April 1st, here in New York State, our legislators delivered what are historic reforms to bail, to speedy trial, which means that people won't be languishing in jail for months, years, awaiting their day in court. And our legislators also delivered discovery reform, which means that for somebody who is accused of a crime, they actually get to know the evidence against them so they can make the decision to either go to trial or take a plea or figure out what to do in their case. And all of these reforms are really important for people coming through the criminal justice system. They're also really important for every single one of us to have a justice system that lives up to its name. And so come January 1st, 2020, here's what you all can expect. You can expect that the vast majority of people that are currently in jail here in Greene County, as you might know, the majority of people who are here in jail in Greene County are actually here on drug-related offenses, on larceny-related offenses, on offenses that we know the underlying reason why we're here is that we haven't provided treatment, we haven't provided stability, we haven't provided housing. So take that $70 million and just take a fraction of it and put it towards the things that we know make people stable and safe and healthy. And so while you tell your legislators to pause and rethink the jail, tell them to move forward on what you need to do come January 1st, 2020, to make sure that people in Greene County who are under the criminal justice system are actually getting the response and the justice that they deserve. And what that looks like is having a centralized arraignment part so that anybody who gets arrested actually gets a chance to be evaluated by a case manager to say, what do we need to keep you out in the community? What do we need to make sure that you have somewhere to live, that you have a way to get back to court, that we can keep you safe and well? And that's something that's now part of the new bail law, that counties have to do this. So Greene County needs to invest in actually doing pretrial services right. The other thing is when people get arrested right now, they might actually have bail set. They might lose their liberty without a lawyer next to them to actually argue for their freedom, to argue against the evidence in a case. Greene County needs to be ready January 1st, 2020, to make sure that nobody loses their liberty without a lawyer next to them. That's a basic fundamental right. And then finally, what do we need to do to keep people out of jail and prison? We need to make sure that there are alternatives to incarceration, that there are opportunities to get people stable, to get people into jobs, to get people into treatment. And so this county needs to invest in that. They need to invest in these things more than you need to invest in a jail. We know this. It's common sense. So pause and rethink the jail and move forward on investing in education, housing, and treatment and pretrial services in this county. That's what you need to do. For too long in this country, when we've said we need to invest in public safety, we need to invest in criminal justice, it means we need to invest in incarceration. And it used to be because judges used to put people in jail for literally anything, whatever they thought was appropriate, which we know in this county means if you have a drug problem, which we know in this county means if you don't have somewhere to live. And the great thing about this new law is that judges will no longer be able to do that. And so what that means is it's no longer a given that if you build new jail beds, they will get filled. If you have 50 jail beds in this county, even if you have 30 jail beds, you're going to be paying for jail beds that never get filled, and they shouldn't get filled, which is why we need to pause on the size of the jail and the construction of a jail and really think, what else can we do? Is it worth building a jail at all? So come armed with these arguments for what else your county should invest in, because this is an investment in justice, it's an investment in public safety, it's an investment in the health and the prosperity of this county. And so I'm going to be here as well. I will answer any questions you all have about the nitty-gritty of these new laws. But what you need to know that these new laws are coming, whether your legislators like them or not, they have to enact them, they have to follow them. And what that means is to seize the opportunity to actually create a different justice system, one that Greene County can be proud of. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Insha, and folks are reminding me, make sure, and Phoebe will talk more about this after, but make sure you sign petitions. There's action steps to be taken today under the tent. Make sure you see folks and you do that. So thank you, Insha. So we have people here today from all walks of life who are motivated to be here for a million different reasons, and I think that's what makes this goal so strong and our mission so reasonable. That, you know, we don't represent just one side of the political aisle. We're not just one small cohort of people. We represent a broad cross-section of Greene County residents. So you're going to hear for the rest of the program from a bunch of folks representing that cross-section. And beginning with... Oh, we're good. I'm going to ask Scott Berwick, who's kind of going to be representing our vast and talented arts community, to come up and lead us in some songs. So Scott Berwick, thank you, folks.
I actually had in mind singing a different song, but after these wonderful speeches, I think I'm just going to go back to Woody Guthrie, who was always the friend of the people. All right, that's good. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. Well, I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. And all around me, a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, the voice was sounding as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. Well, Woody wrote a couple of verses that never ended up in the school books, but they certainly speak to justice reform. In the squares of the city, by the shadow of a steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people as they stood there hungry. I stood there asking if this land's made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is mine, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. Nobody living can ever stop me as I go walking that freedom highway. Nobody living can make me turn back. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. This land was made made for you and me. So, before I step down, I just want Cassidy was supposed to sing a song for us, but her daughter is ill, and so she had to take her home today. So she apologizes to everyone, but thank you all for being here. You're wonderful singers.
Thank you, Scott. I am not a wonderful singer, which is why I had to go to school for so long to get my PhD in criminal justice. So, true statement. So we're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so, we have two speakers who are going to talk to us about how a jail build is going to impact us economically. So our first speaker is, I hope I get this right, Bobby J, that part I could say, Bobby Januszewski, it's a little more challenging. So Bobby is a resident and taxpayer in Tannersville for the last 35 years. He's now retired from a position as professor of sociology at Bryan and Stratton College in Albany, has a degree in history and a master's in sociology, and his research skills shine. He's been engaged in his opposition to the proposed Coxsackie Jail Project since 2017, established himself as chair of the Mountaintop Progressives Jail Project Committee, and led opposition to the proposal for more than a year. He attended numerous meetings, including the ATI committee, spoke at both legislative committees and the full body on several occasions, including their budget hearing in 2019, or November of last year, for 2019, with emphasis on the massive cost of the project and the pending gigantic impact on the taxpayers of Greene County, presently standing at the edge of a financial cliff. Nobody understands the economic part of it, the real finances, better than Bobby J. So Bobby.
That's why I'm wearing a black shirt. By the way, did you see the Kentucky Derby yesterday? Anybody see that yesterday?
Yeah.
And you noticed that the horse came in first. What happened, right? Lost. And who won? 65-1 odds that came in second. That's us. We lost a vote by one down the street last September at the county legislature. I want to thank Lori and others who were on our side of that coin on that day. Thank you, Lori. In March of this year, we lost another vote. This was an award of bids that was done in March of this year, but ground didn't break yet. And here's the reason. Because they need a final approval. The final approval of the plan they submitted is done by the State Commission of Correction, located in Albany. If they don't get that approved, they will not have to break ground. They will not be able to finance the jail. It's got to be sent back to this community and to that building down the street as a rejection by a state agency that supervises it. If there's an action you need to take, besides signing up the forms you signed at that table over there, besides signing a petition to reform the jail proposal, beside any other thing you do, send a letter to the State Commission on Corrections and say, get off your butt, join us, do the right thing with the new law, and send it right back into our cauldron up the block. Yeah. That's what we want you to do. Okay, you. Incidentally, if you need a dress, I can give you, and right at this table over here, and I have in my hand, by the way, addresses for the governor, the comptroller, the attorney general, and the State Commission on Corrections saying, hello, we're in Catskill, we're in Greene County, things are going on here, you need to intervene now. That address, those phone numbers, and those email contacts will be at that table. So pick it up if you need it.
Online.
Online, you can file complaints online with the governor's office, the Attorney General's office, but I don't think the State Commission on Correction. The addresses are all online too. That's where I picked up the information, and for those who may not have online access, you can get it at this table. Other than that, just hit the contact key on that site online and you'll be able to get it. Anyway, let me tell you what Lori asked me to run through, and here's why. Because, think about it, when you talk to your neighbors, your friends, others in this community who have the same burden being faced but don't get it, you need to get it. And you need to explain to them how this thing works. And here's why. There are people down the street who work for the county who have lied again and again and again. And I'll give you their first lie. Just to make the point. We said, well, why are we building or propose to build something in Coxsack? The jail in every county is as close in proximity, if not directly attached to the courthouse, for one simple reason. There's no transportation expense to drag those who are detainees awaiting trial back and forth and back and forth and pay people to do that. It's right next to the courthouse. That's where our jail was, on the opposite side of this building where we're assembled today. Coxsack is a bit of a drive, don't you think? Uh-huh. So that's going to add a transportation cost of just a little less than $1 million. Now, incidentally, I use their numbers. I don't make these numbers up. Okay? So they said, well, the site in Coxsack is free. We got it for nothing. We saved the taxpayers a lot of money. Well, if you pile through all the documents associated with this, you're going to come across one that's important. And it's a loan application made out by the county. And in that loan application is a detail of the site. And in the detail of the site is a very simple explanation. We have to prepare this site, which we got for free, in order to be able to build a facility on it. How much does that cost? $850,000. That makes Coxsack the most expensive jail site in New York State. That's a lie. We got it for free. We got it because we had to take it from someone who wanted to get away from it. And in order to prepare it, we had to pay 2, 3, 4, or 8 times more than an alternative site would have otherwise cost. You want me to step up the stairs? Okay. I will do that. I'm rethinking my position. So now let's get down to the nitty-gritty of nickels and dimes, dollars and cents. The county budget, and you could look this up. These are all their numbers. You can look this up online. Just go to Greene County, and under the document tab, you're going to find the budgets for all the last 10 years. That's where these numbers come from. The budget is primarily funded in every county, and especially Greene, by three large elements. State funding, like Medicaid, for example, runs through the county budget. That's a big, it's a big dollar amount, and that's where it comes from. The second is sales tax. We collect around $30 million in sales tax on an annual basis in Greene County. In 2018, it dropped 9% from 2017. All you have to do is take a look at those two budgets, go to their revenue page, and you'll find it. In the first quarter of this year, it's up 2%. So now we're only down 7%. My point is, sales tax is not paying for this. The state of New York does not fund the construction or operations of county-responsible jail facilities. So if it's not the state and not the sales tax, it's the property tax. That's you and me and that business across the street and the factory down the road. It's all of us who pay property tax. How much is collected in the property tax? This is something you need to remember. 26 million property tax collection. Now, you may have noticed around the state budget debate that permanent law was adopted in the state budget, which fixes the growth in tax maximum any year at 2%. Wow. Do we want to spend that 2%, if we raise it 2%, on expanding broadband, adding more emergency health care? Do we want to spend it on fixing the roads, the potholes, and all of that? Or do we want to spend it on 80 beds so we could house a dozen people? I mean, come on. So, it's $26 million. In the loan application, there's an amortization table, or you could pull up any amortization table online. And all you have to do is put in what they're expecting. A 30-year debt. A 30-year debt at 3.5%. Put that on your amortization table when you get home and get online. And what you're going to find out is that costs $2.2 million a year for 30 years. Not a dollar a year, not $3 a year, which the county administrator would love to tell you and told Lori when that vote came up last September, but $2.2 million a year is almost 10% increase in the county property tax of $26 million. And that's just that. Never mind that right now, we have a rated capacity by the state of New York of 56. We don't have 56. We have more like 30, maybe 35 one day, maybe 40, maybe 28. You know, it varies. In fact, the state of New York said in 2017, our daily average population was 40. So I'm going to use that number, not the real number of 30 today. I'll use 40. So, we're applying for an expansion of our capacity from our current 56 rate to 80. We haven't amended that yet. That's almost a 50% increase. Now, what are we spending to operate our jail last year when we had part of it under operation? We were spending $5.3 million. This year in the budget is 4.7. And that's just the jail. That's not the sheriff and his uniform and his car and investigating this and that. It's just the jail. It includes all of the contract provisions for employees, all of that. Last year we had 26 officers. And for that we spent $5.3 million. Now, what are we going to have going forward? If you ask that question, the county lies again. They say, here's their answer. Well, we're going to use a different supervisory system, direct supervision. Direct supervision, it requires fewer supervisors than indirect supervision. Indirect is sort of like regular cells that you see in old movies on TV. Anyway, that's true. Direct supervision requires less. But when we had 26, we never had enough. All their reports on us was how few we had. We didn't have enough supervisory occupancy to watch the people we had on hand. So, what does it really mean? Well, if we need more people, it's going to cost us more money. Instead of their inference that, well, it'll cost us less because we'll need fewer. Nonsense. How can I, and if you ask them this question, they'll tell you right now and have all along, including in March, we can't answer that question on how much it costs to operate. We haven't figured it out yet. We don't have all the right data. Well, then what are you voting on, for God's sake? So, they didn't vote on it, but guess what? Some other counties who are in the same boat or a similar one to us have done so. Here's one for you. Look it up online. St. Lawrence County. St. Lawrence County is building a facility with a 160 beds. Now, they put in a plan before the State Commission on Correction of Correction for 80 staffers. The State Commission approved it. So, and that was direct supervision. So what does that mean? It means that if you take the number you're looking for and divide it in half, that gives you your staff number that will get approved by the state. That's what happened with St. Lawrence. Well, what happens to us? If we go 80, we'll come to 40. And if we go to 40 from 26, that's a 50% increase. 50% increase of 5.3 million is 2.6 or 7 million in operating expense. And guess what? We never had medical provision and other advisory, supervisory provisions that the law of the state of New York requires. We didn't have counseling available, drug treatment available, none of that here. So that number doesn't include any of that. So I'm not even going to boost that number up. Let's keep it at 2.7. 2.7 and 2.2 comes to 4.9 million increase in operating service and debt service. On what? 26 million is our current property tax collection across Greene County. And if you increase it by $5 million, that's almost a 20% increase in county tax. It's not the dollar that Sean Grogan says it is. It's not the $3 that somebody else says it is. You want to know what you'd have to pay? Pull out your county tax bill that you got in January, along with the town and the village, and add 20% to it, and that's what you'll pay. For 30 years, insane. We're going to make a world-class debt, the biggest debt in the history of Hudson County, Greene County, the biggest debt in the ever adopted by this county, and in addition to all of that, we're going to increase by 50% the operating cost. That is a financial cliff. Do not jump with the lemons. Good luck. Sign up. Call up. Send an email. Let's get moving. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby J. Yes. That's the man with the numbers. He knows it all. So moving right along, I want to bring up somebody in my neighborhood up on the mountaintop. She's the Wyndham Chamber of Commerce president, has been for how many years? 7 years, unbelievable. Super active in the community, dynamite woman on our planning board. Lisa Jaeger up to the mic. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, everybody. Nick and Lori, yes, we're neighbors, we're colleagues, we are skiers, bikers, and we enjoy that community. It's very special up there. And I'm very fortunate to also make a living up there as a local real estate broker. So, thank you. I just want to touch on Bob's point of the property tax. And I know that Wyndham has the fair share of the second homeowners on the mountaintop. We've been very fortunate to have them come to our communities, invest in our communities, and be a part of our communities. And this jail, the taxes will affect this group, which could affect our real estate market in a negative way. It has a ripple effect. It affects our painters, our plumbers, our electricians. It has a trickle-down effect that I'm not sure everyone is really thinking about. I didn't think about the jail when it first came on the radar, but now as I'm starting to think about it and hearing about how much it's going to cost, has anyone really done the trickle-down cost of it? For 30 years, I mean, this is a big ask, in my opinion, without pausing and rethinking about other alternatives we could be spending this money on. And it doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm standing here willing to put my voice out there to say, wait a minute, we have a lot here to risk. And Greene County's now on an upswing. You know, we have new investors, new business people, new placemakers. They're coming. We want to keep them coming here. And how do we do that? We continue to make our communities grow in a responsible way. And so I'm just hoping that they'll hear our voice today, pause, rethink about ways that we could spend this money maybe to enhance our communities rather than shackle them. So thank you very much for listening, and good luck.
Thank you.
Yep, one little interjection coming in.
I'm looking at the... I'm Frank Cuthbert. I'm a musician, but also a real estate developer and an investor. And I was talking with a few of my friends about a particular way that I'm looking at this debt that I don't know that anybody has considered. I'm going to give you, a simple example. If I had $100,000 to invest, as a lot of people, particularly down south of here, do, and are looking at Greene County as a place to invest, and I were looking for a 10% return on my money, I'd be looking at a building that, let's say, netted $10,000, I'd be willing to spend $100,000 for that building. If my taxes go up $1,000 so that that building now only nets $9,000, that same person now is only willing to spend $90,000 for the building. Thus, there's approximately a 10-to-1 ratio of the impact of $70 million. $70 million in terms of investment in the county could result in a $700 million loss of value in this county. So if anybody stops to think about that, I think it's a serious thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Some simple economics there. And I don't think it takes a lot to us to shut our eyes and imagine the opportunity lost by cranking our taxes up. So up next, Phoebe Potter, back to the mic.
Hey, y'all. Woo! All right. Can we just give ourselves a really big round of applause and cheer for being here? Yeah. Thank you. So on the agenda, this is the transition from the economic argument to the personal argument, which at the end of the day, it's all personal for me. We're talking about human bodies, lives, communities, families, children. This is not just a jail that we don't want to pay for because we want to save taxes. This is a jail we want to fight because jails are dangerous and jails harm people. We need to do a better job. So... I'm going to say a few words about that, and then I have a few other members of the community who are going to talk about that. I know a ton of you. I am grateful to all of you for your solidarity showing up for this. Phoebe Potter, I grew up on the mountaintop, spent 8 years doing consulting with state and local prisons and jail systems all over the place trying to make reentry better or have better mental health programs or train corrections officers how to treat people with dignity. And at the end of the day, it's a lot of band-aids on a really broken system, and this is an opportunity to fundamentally change how justice looks in our community. So yeah, I got home 2.5 years ago and dropped into the exact same sort of work on a different side of the aisle, not in a position of power in an organization, just a member of the community coming home to start a small business up in Hunter and to be in the woods and to kind of chill out. And this stuff is plaguing communities all over the place. And I want folks to know that there are a bunch of people who are fighting against jails and prisons all over this state who champion these New York State reforms, who have our back, who are sending stuff out on social media, who are talking to the larger Free New York campaign that's happening. So we are part of a larger movement, and that's exciting. That energy is around us. So just like you, I'm just a person who's navigating, trying to make it through and create a livelihood here in Greene County. And the reason I'm here and against this jail and have been since I heard about it is because jails are not restorative and they're not safe. and we're talking about public safety. We're gonna hear from folks who have been on the other side of it and can talk about what it actually is experientially and why it's not helpful. There are statistics that talk about everybody who's inside a prison or jail suffers. Corrections officers can have higher PTSD and addiction rates than Iraq war veterans. This has been documented. These are not safe conditions. And when you take people away from their community, away from the places where their problems are starting, and put them in a cage somewhere, you are not going to repair any of the harm that has been done. You are not going to give that person an opportunity to work through the trauma and the abuse and the poverty and the racial profiling and all of the things that go into what makes somebody end up in jail or not, when the reality is all of us are living in a state where it's awfully criminalized and awfully easy to break it. So, what are we gonna spend our money on? It was awesome to see all the board things. When I think about what jail has become, jails have become the place where when we're desperate, we send somebody to stabilize, right? Like, we can't deal with this anymore, we can't have them, this is where it lands. And I just think for $70 million, we could do a hell of a lot better job stabilizing people in our community. We could be paying for mental health and addiction and detox stabilization housing. Yes, prevention, we could be affording non-criminalizing spaces for people to show up when they're in conflict interpersonally and work that out and not feel like they're going to be under police presence for the rest of their life because they tried to solve a problem. We need community restorative justice systems. We need to fight poverty in a fundamental way so people can afford to register their car and get their light brakes fixed and do the things that make you get pulled over and caught up in the system over and over again. And when we talk about restorative justice, I don't want to ignore the fact that we are in a world that deals with a lot of trauma and a lot of abuse and that violence shows up in our communities. Let's not be in denial about the world we live in. Let's hold it differently. Let's find ways for us to think about what are the roots of things like domestic violence? What are the roots of things like drunk driving? What are the roots of the things that get people caught up in the system? And how do we actually make them better and prevent them from happening in the first place? And for $46 million, the cost of this jail, we could do a lot of things that would make a difference on that and make these visions an actual reality and actually make our community feel safer. New York State bail reform happened because enough people stood up and said enough to a poverty-driven justice system. People said enough to our pre-trial liberties. Our right to be considered innocent until proven guilty was being violated. That is why it's here. Now we have a window of opportunity to make it happen locally, to create a different sort of pre-trial justice system that's actually just. And I'm gonna ask everyone here to stand with me in saying we need to pause and rethink this jail. We are, yes. And that we should not expand our jail and prison footprint, not one more cell in this region of our community when there's plenty of them there and they don't solve our problems. Right. So with that, I'm gonna bring up a couple people who are gonna say a few things about this issue and to really, again, bring it home and remind us all that when we do this work and we feel tired and we go back to our personal lives, it's a hell of a privilege not to be in prison and jail. So keep showing up for this work. It makes a difference. So I wanna start by introducing Matt Van Tassel to come up and say a few words to get everyone churned up. Thank you, Matt.
Hello, how's everybody doing? Good. You know, I think we have to deal with what the root of the problem is and not the fruit. We're still concerned about the crime, us committing crimes, us going to jail because of crime. Let's deal with the root. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Why do we continue to make the same mistakes? It's very evident that jails don't work. 85% of people return within the first 90 days of coming home. So obviously this is not effective. There's states where they're investing in people coming home and being rehabilitated where the recidivism rate is 15% as opposed to 85%. So is this effective? Is this effective? Not at all. We need a major paradigm shift. We need to start investing in things out here that will help people to remain in the community and not continue to go back to these establishments. You know, we continue to come out here and we can't get jobs. Nobody wants to deal with us because now we got a felon. Now we got some type of something on our back that makes society look at us like we're the low of the low, when really everybody out here could have made the same mistakes that we made. You know, nobody's exempt from failure. Nobody's exempt from making mistakes. Some don't get caught, Some don't get caught with these mistakes, but really, it's not even about crime no more, it's about money. You know, the mass incarceration, the age of colorblindness. What it is if you have money, you're not going to jail these days. If you don't have money, you'll be here stuck. You're stuck, you're in there miserable. These people locked you in 18 hours a day in Greene County Jail. 18 hours a day you're in your cell, by yourself, with nothing, no communication, nothing. Just sitting there thinking about the stupid things you did, but not learning how to not do these stupid things, because they don't give you education, they don't give you books. You have to fight with these people to get any type of law library help, so these things are ineffective. What I would like to see is people such as myself, who is willing to help the community, willing to help people in the struggle, to be able to have grants, something where we're able to not have to work a 9-to-5 doing things that we hate doing, where we could be doing things that we love doing to help change life. You know, this is a sickness. You know, if you keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result, it's insanity, right? We're insane to think the jails are effective. We're insane. Society has showed us over and over that they are ineffective, that they do not produce the desired results, and that they will never get us what we want. So what we need to do as people is to work with each other, you know, and not to have this paradigm that they're the bad ones, that they are the low of the low. No, these people that have been through these bad situations could help others to not go through these same situations. You know? And I'm very passionate about this because I've been through these situations. And I know, you know, thank God I was autodidactic. I taught myself when I was incarcerated how to not go back to jail. I taught myself how to live a different way. But not everybody's afforded these opportunities. I have people who are sending me material, helping me to do this. But at the same time, there's people that are stuck in there with nobody and nothing for years and years and years. I know people that are doing life bids that have nobody. You know, these people are doing 25 to life. Go to the parole board after 25 years, could possibly get home and been in there stuck with no type of education. Every day is a fight for survival. You can't just sit there, and then they got these ASAP programs that are supposed to help you to stop doing drugs, where you're watching a priest from 1960 talking about alcohol addiction. I don't know what you're talking about, my man. I'm lost, confused. You don't got me. I don't know what's going on with you with this alcohol addiction. I have a different problem that I need to address. And a lot of the problems is criminal behavior. And we're just trying to have this one thing fix everybody, and that's not effective. Some people need alcohol help. Some people need to learn how to not commit crimes. Some people need employment opportunities. People need help. People need people, and we need to stop thinking that people don't. You know, it can't be a selfish society. Let's all help with each other. Each one teach one. No more locked doors!
Thank you, Matt. I think we're getting worried about the rain, so we're going to have to keep moving some of these community comments through fast. If it does start to rain and you're uncomfortable, are we going to encourage going anywhere? Are we?
I think we got enough of the agenda.
All right.
So I think we'll turn.
All right. Don't disappear without doing the things at that table that we need you to do to make sure this message actually gets to the people who need to hear it. So if you haven't been to our table, please do. I want to introduce Melvin Lott to talk real quickly about how this is going to impact the future of Greene County. And
I'm going to show y'all magic. I'm going to do a rap song for. I don't got much time because we all got things to do. So what I'm gonna do is, you right there, if there's any more kids out here, I need some time for this. I don't care how long it takes. Could they sit right here or stand right here? You know, I saw a child with some red Jordan pants on and a hat. Where is he at? Because he's paying attention. The adults are here, you guys are educated. I wanna talk to them. The problem's this, they don't understand. Stand right there. No one wants to send their child. It's infinite love here, don't worry about it. This is magic. In 10 to 15 years, you have the potential to be a Supreme Court justice. You have the potential to be the best cop in law enforcement. You have the potential to be the best female firefighter. You have the potential to change what we're out here trying to fix. You are the most important person out here. He's the most important person out here. And any child who's walking and just looking, their parents should be saying, hey, listen to them. I love you, don't even know you. These people need to know I love you. So when they see me, they don't have a misconception of me. They say, hey, he wants her to be a Supreme Court justice. He's going to make sure nothing bothers that little girl. He's going to make sure the people up the street who's supposed to protect you won't bother you. There's things you need to know. We're first in power, second in wealth. We're 41st in education. Not one person said anything about a child. No disrespect. This is infinite love. If you follow the Bible like I do, and you're an American citizen like me, the Bible taught me infinite love and infinite forgiveness. That's it. You can put it down after that. Now, I don't want to say anything more because the impact that I made to this little girl is enough for me to bring that energy to my daughters and my child. And tell them the same thing that I told my child every day, I just told a stranger. I don't need these shades. I wore these shades. I did this on purpose. Synchronicity at its finest. These are who we need to be talking to. They're not our enemy who are saying they need to make these jails safe. They're not our enemy who's saying we need another jail. That's what they were taught. Those are your brothers and sisters that are we're sitting here battling against. When you say, boo, that's hate. I don't teach that. I will not teach a child that. So where she goes, boo, now I have to explain. Why are you saying boo? I love everyone. And if you're here for political reasons, I pass you so fast that I don't walk down there and smoke a cigarette and came back. Infinite love, infinite forgiveness. If you're here for politician reasons, or you're here to shift the money to where you think it should go to make sure your child is straight for college, that's fine. But don't think for a second, I'm gonna stop what I'm doing. I'm infinite love and infinite forgiveness. Stop locking people up for no reason. Goodbye.
Getting close, there's a couple more speakers. I want to have a really quick moment to share another piece of this puzzle that I think is really important for folks to understand about what it is that we're up against in this moment and the bigger personal issue that we're talking about. When I wrote to a reporter about this story, asking them to pay attention, one of the questions I got back was, what about the fact that we can make money on federal inmates in our jail in the future? Yeah, huh? Federal inmates in local prisons translates to immigrants, to ICE detainees. So if you care about that issue, this relates to that, and Diana's gonna say a word about that too.
Hi, how many people want ICE detainees, prisoners in your jail?
No ICE.
Anybody?
No ICE, yellow.
Well, I attended the legislature meeting last Wednesday and spoke with Sheriff Seeley after the meeting. And Sheriff Seeley was disappointed about the number of jail beds decreasing. And the reason why? Yes, you all know the answer. He wants ICE detainees, ICE prisoners in our jail. And one of the reasons had to do with the location of the jail being on 9W, close to the thruway, that would make easy access to have ICE prisoners in the Greene County Jail.
$70 million of your money.
Also, what's important is Sheriff Seeley said, well, I'm really great friends with Sheriff Apple of Albany. And you know, they get $1,000 per inmate there. And I just confirmed with Insha of the Vera Institute of Justice that, you know, you really, in the long run, don't make money from having ICE prisoners in your jail. In fact, that rate goes up and down, and most people who are taking ICE prisoners, they don't break even, or they barely break even. Also, one thing to note is the reason Sheriff Apple does not take ICE prisoners in the jail anymore is because there was such an outcry about separating families that he felt it was unethical. But I will say this, while the ICE prisoners were in Albany, they had access to lawyers. And do you think they'd have access to lawyers here? We don't have criminal justice lawyers in Greene County. So pause, rethink the jail. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, one final community speaker just to speak about how this is gonna impact us. Drew Schuster, thank you very much for being here. Thank you all for being here. Visit the table.
Hello, folks. My name is Drew Schuster. For people who don't know me, you'll have to excuse me. I'm not a public speaker. I hate speaking in public, and I get very nervous at these sort of things. What I'm here to tell you is that, number one, I'm a Republican, and I think most people that have been dealing with this issue are not Republicans, and I just want to let you know that this is an issue that affects everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. This is an issue that affects all of us. The gentleman before was talking about children and how important children are to our community. I have three children. My three children are brilliant. I'm so lucky. They're so wonderful. They are great, great kids. But those kids are never coming back to Greene County. They're getting educated and they're leaving. And the reason they're not coming back to Greene County is there's nothing for them to do. There's no businesses, there's no jobs, there's nothing really that they can spend their life doing. And if we're about to spend $70 million on a jail that we don't need, we're not going to have money to create opportunities for our children to be in Greene County. That's basically my point. This is an issue that affects all of us, every single one of us, and our children. I love my children. You love your children. We all want our children to be close to us. We've got to save this money, invest it in our future, which is our children, and let's do away with this stupid jail. Pause and rethink. No question about it. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Lori, where are you? We need you up at the mic. We heard from a lot of great folks around the community, and thank you for coming up and chatting. I just want to reference, did anyone 2 weeks ago see that article on the front page of the Daily Mail that had the diagram of New York State and all the counties? And it showed that Greene County, the census shows that Greene County lost 2-4% of its population from 2010 to 2018. That's atrocious and that hurts, and rural communities are fighting that right now. We're not alone, but it's a fight. And when we do things like this, and when we build a $70 million jail that we just don't need, but my point in saying this is our chair, our county legislator chair, actually was quoted in that same article as saying, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. The one thing I left out here was they cited the reason for the population decline is high taxes. High taxes, right, it's laughable. Our Greene County chair was quoted as saying, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. The governor in Albany is always mandating us to do things and it costs us money. Good God, Mom, you have a chance to save $70 million and $5 million a year. What are you thinking? That's the biggest single expense. So don't blame anyone else, blame yourself. Pause and rethink. Lori, where are you?
Actually, I'm gonna have Phoebe come back up one more moment and introduce just a couple more people that want to speak from the audience, and then I will give you all some parting words, and we'll be sent off with another song from Scott Berwick. So just a couple more moments, and stay engaged, folks.
All right. Just a few words wanted to be said from a few people at this point about the issue of affordable housing in Greene County and its relationship to this issue. So. Really, really quick, seriously, just a few minutes about what brought you out here and what moved.
Hello, my name is Alexis Da Silva, and I am a survivor of abuse, and I am currently homeless. Someday I'm going to be able to have a job and leave the motel up by 9W and Starlight. Problem is, Section 8 housing here in Papineau's, it's got black mold. It's unlivable. They might have to shut it down someday. We already lost a homeless shelter in Kasaki recently due to unlivable conditions. So why are we spending $70 million on a jail when we've got people who've done nothing wrong, like me, who can stay in a motel that's okay, or move into Section 8 housing and work in a condition that'll make me sick and drop dead in 10 years? Thank you. Pause and rethink it.
Hi, everybody. Thank you all for coming out. My name is Molly Stinchfield, a Freehold Art Exchange, and I am a Catskill resident. I wanted to speak on behalf of the low-income tenants in Greene County. Over at the Hoppenose, we have toxic mold issues. We have giant rats coming up from the creek. We have toilets overflowing but are not being dealt with properly. We have people, maintenance workers, who have been cut down to half time and are not allowed to go into tenants' apartments for some reason. I don't really understand that part. We have issues that they're sitting on money over there to do renovations, and they haven't even started. They got the grant last year. They haven't done it yet. This is an issue that needs to be central to the jail discussion, because what do you think is going to happen to people who are criminalized for, you know, not having proper access to education and proper access to resources? They're going to go to our new jail. They're going to sit there and they're going to get money funneled to their programs. Why don't we spend money on housing where we all need it? I mean, we all need housing. It's a human right. This should not be the house. The jail should not be the house. Thank you.
Thank you both so much. Grateful. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. Deeply, deeply grateful for the solidarity and for the depth of vision that we have here. So with that, Lori, for real, I think is going to bring us home to wind it up. A little bit of music, an opportunity for y'all to mingle, to get to know each other, to sign whatever you need to sign. Thank you very much.
Okay, everyone, well, thank you. I don't have any brilliant parting words, and I'm sorry I kept being pulled away, but the good news is I've been pulled away because the Albany News is here, because people are paying attention, and I think this is precisely why we wanted to be here today. So I guess I'll just say I'm somewhat overwhelmed with emotion at this point. This has been a 3-year fight. Sometimes I felt, you know, very lonely at night thinking about this in my head, but the reality of how not alone I have been in this fight is very clear right now. Thank you all so much. We have a moment in time to inject sanity into a process, and you are all here asking that your voices be heard. Please don't leave here today and sort of forget this ever happened. Talk to people. Not everyone knows about this. Take what you've learned today, and don't be, you know, there's intricacies, but don't worry about that. At the end of the day, there'll be 15 people in a jail that will cost us $50 million and $5 million a year. That makes sense to no one. We can do better than that. Leave here today and make your voices heard, and thank you so much. And to wind us out, we'll have Scott Berwick lead us out in one more song. Make sure you get under the tent if you haven't already. Sign petitions, take them with you. Thank you, everybody.
So, is this live? All right, here we go. So, I wrote a little song that has all the bullet points of today's speeches, I hope, or at least as many as I can think of. It's time to raise our voices. It's time to raise our voices. It's time to raise our voices. This time we must be heard. This time we must be heard. Time to pause and think it over. Time to pause and think it over. Time to pause and think it over. This jail should not be built. This jail should not be built. Laws have changed since we made the jail plan. Laws have changed since we made the jail plan. Laws have changed since we made the jail plan. This jail will be too big. This jail will be too big. So let's find a better answer.
Let's find a better answer. Let's find a better answer and make a better plan. Let's make a better plan and let's work with other counties. Let's work with other counties. Let's work with other counties. It will keep our taxes down. It'll keep our taxes down. Time to pause and think it over. Time to pause and think it over. Time to pause and think it over. This jail will cost too much. And not just in dollars, this jail will cost too much. Yeah! So maybe one more song here. Sometimes our living gets so dark and lonesome. Seems like there's nothing we can do. So we reach out to each other, raise a song together, let our voices carry us through. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times
to come.
So hand in hand together, let's help each other carry the light of peace within us every day. We can learn to live it, walk and talk and give it. That world of peace won't be so far away. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times come. Thank you all.